All right, Boker Tov, everybody, and Shavua Tov, as we get started again, and we're always kicking off the week, always a pleasure to have Rabbi Liebtag to begin our week of learning. Vakasha, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you. So today is part three, and we share our screen. And so our title again is Send My People Out, Let My People Go, Reexamining the Story of the Exodus, part three. And this is one of my fun titles, Why Moshe is in the Dark Until Choshech. I hope you get the pun. And hopefully within an hour, you'll understand the title. Okay, so I just wrote a quick introduction. In our first class, we studied chapter three called the Burning Bush Narrative, and we went over it again last week from a different angle, dealing with God's names. But we showed 2 weeks ago how Moshe's primary job was not to take the Jews out of Egypt, but his job was to listen to God so that God could take the Jews out of Egypt. And Moshe's job was to go to Pharaoh and warn him that if Pharaoh didn't allow slaves to go serve the God a three-day distance into the desert and bring sacrifices, Egypt would be smitten by terrible plagues. We'll review that again soon. But what we pointed out is that Moshe's job was to fail. God told Moshe, that's your job to go to Pharaoh. But I'm telling you ahead of time, don't expect for Pharaoh to be convinced. Your job is to warn him, but I'll make sure that he won't give in to you. I'll do everything possible to harden his heart if he doesn't harden himself. And again, Moshe's job is to request and demand that Pharaoh send them out. But God wants him to fail, and that's going to sort of build up the tension so that when he finally does send them out, as we'll see this week, he'll really kick them out. So today's class, we're going to show the unit. We're going to explain something which is really sort of strange in Chumash, two strange phenomena, which all the Parshanim are sort of bothered by. We're going to try to suggest an answer by dealing with them as units. So in today's class, we're going to show how Moshe is unaware of how many plagues there's going to be. That's the idea of the title, Moshe's in the Dark Until Choshech, until the ninth plague. And it'll help us understand something really strange happening in chapter 11. Okay. So luckily, you were on shul yesterday. I'm sure you noticed this when we were laning. We had those genealogies. I think Rabbi Gemara talked about that in his share. I listened to part of it. About why the genealogies, why we have this interruption of the story of the Exodus with genealogies that maybe belonged earlier in the book. What are they doing there? I'm not going to do that topic. I'm going to try to explain why they're located where they are. So let's do a quick review of our key points, and then we'll get to work. So first, I want to review the point that Moshe's job is not to take the Jews out of Egypt, but to sort of follow God's God's going to take them out of Egypt. Moshe has to simply follow God's orders to help facilitate God do it. And then we said that God told Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, I see their suffering, and I'm going down to take them out, to bring them to the good land and fulfill B'rit Ben Aptarim. And now I heard their suffering, and your job is to go to Pharaoh and take my people out of Egypt. And then we saw how, I messed up there. And then we saw how God tells Moshe, you go. Moshe is asked, who am I to go and how do I take them out? And God answers Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll be with you, not to worry. The burning bush is a sign. And then there was two ways of understanding Moshe's question about how do I take them out. So when we followed Rashi, I'll just review it quickly. Rashi says, God tells Moshe, you go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Moshe says, who am I going to Pharaoh? And God says, the burning bush is a sign. And when God tells Moshe, take them out of Egypt, Moshe is asking what merit to take them out of Egypt. And God's answer is, when you leave Egypt, the reason you're going is to serve God on Mount Sinai, and that's the reason and the purpose and the merit for redeeming them. Rashbam gives a totally different approach. Moshe's question about who am I to go to Pharaoh is the same. Well, when God tells Moshe to take them out of Egypt, Moshe is asking, how do I take them out of Egypt? I'd love to, but how do I do such a thing? And Rashbam explains that God's answer, when you take them out of Egypt, serve me on the mountain, that's the strategy. So you convince Pharaoh to send them out. Go tell Pharaoh we need to sacrifice to our God. And we spent the first year on that famous Rosh Mam explaining beautifully why he thinks that's the pshat. And then we tried to sort of agree with part of it and argued with the other side. And it wasn't a trick, but rather we explained why he couldn't tell the truth. If we have time, we'll go back to that later today. Okay. That was a review of what we did in the first two Shirim that relates to today's year. Now we'll get to work. What I want to show you now is how Moshe's first encounter with Pharaoh was a total failure. That's exactly what it says. Moshe goes to Pharaoh and tells him, Elohei Ivrim, the God of this Hebrew people, your slaves, called upon us or happened upon us. We need to go a three-day distance into the desert to serve our God. And here the king was. But if we don't, let me make this bigger now. Okay. If we don't serve our God, what's going to happen? We are going to be smitten by dever, some pestilence or sword, or basically people are going to die and it's going to be ugly. Now, who are we? Either we are your slaves and you lose your workforce. We might be all of Egypt, or we might be a nice way of saying you, as Rashi points out. Now, Pharaoh is really upset by this request. He thinks the people are just having too much free time, and therefore he doubles the workload. Remember that story? Moshe, after everyone complains to him, Moshe returns to God and says, why are you making things worse? Why have you sent me? He says, I've been a failure, like I told you. Since I went to Pharaoh, things have only gotten worse, and you didn't save your people. And Moshe is trying to explain why he's not the one for the job. He's trying to understand what's happening. And God gives us this amazing answer. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Parshat Shemot? God tells Moshe, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, because I have a plan that when it's over, Pharaoh is going to send you out with a Yad Chazakah, and he's going to expel you with the Yad Chazakah. Meaning, the goal of this plan is for Pharaoh to kick us out. That we explained that in the first year. God doesn't need Pharaoh to give us permission to leave. I need Pharaoh and all of Egypt to throw us out of Egypt. And that's how we're going to get 2 million Jews out of Egypt overnight. I need the Egyptian people behind it so that they're willing to lend us things, because it's in their interest we go serve our God to stop the plagues. That was our main thing I tried to explain in the first year. But here, the Yad Chazakah, as we'll see later on, is the Yad Chazakah of Egypt. Rashi explains, with a strong hand, it's God's strong hand will be plagues, it's wordplay. But because of God's outstretched hand that brings the plagues, then Pharaoh's Yad Chazakah and Egypt is going to force us out of Egypt. I brought Rashi down in English. Rashi says, against the will of the Israelites. No, Israel doesn't want to leave, but they're going to force him to leave. He'll drive them out of the land against what Israel wants. No, he'll force us out. And they won't have sufficient time to prepare provisions. That way we make matzah. And that's the pasuk v'tekezek mitzvah ma'alim lemer l'shachar min ha'aretz in chapter 12. We saw that back then. Just to review, Rashbam, it's about the Hebrew in the Rashbam. Ki b'yad chazakah ba'al korcham shel Yisrael gashem. He says the same thing as his grandfather. Okay? Against Israel's will, we're going to be forced out of Egypt. It's not that he gave us permission to leave and we're running, but rather we're leaving Egypt because we're forced out of Egypt by the Egyptians. And that's why Moshe has to fail and convince Egypt that the only way to stop the plagues is for them to throw us out of Egypt to serve our God. Okay. And they bring the pasuk again, after the 10th plague, 1233. Okay, now, that was the review, and just I want to bring the two parshanim to show that God's up to something, and this plan will help us understand what's happening in chapter 11. Now, we also saw that Am Yisrael are not ready for redemption. We did this also yesterday in Shul. Remember, God tells Moshe, tell B'nai Yisrael, Ani Hashem. A quick little annotation here. Remember, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. The message to Am Yisrael is, I'm your God, I'm your boss. Therefore, I'm going to take you out, the Shonot of Gula, Votseti, Vitzati, Vigalti, and Balakachti. I'll take you out of Egypt. I'll bring you to Har Sinai. You'll know I'm your God. Then I'll bring you to the land. Those are the stages of the process that God's trying to get them ready for. But Moshe tells us to B'nai Yisrael, they don't listen to Moshe, they don't obey. If you follow Yechezkel, in chapter 20, I think we talked about that before, Yechezkel says that God called upon them to do tshuva, to repent, and be ready for redemption before everything began, and they didn't listen, and they have to sort of learn the hard way. So it's going to take a long time till we leave, and we're going to have to do a lot of mitzvot to get us ready to leave. No. After this short little narrative, what happens? We have a second. We have a strange break in the narrative. I'm going to show it to you in the regular Chumash. Here. What happens? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu as follows. I just copied the Chumash. Let me make it in a smaller size. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, God tells Moshe again, go speak to Pharaoh. Then basically, Moshe just failed twice. He failed going to Israel. Pharaoh, they don't listen to him. He failed earlier going to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doubled the workload. So God tells him again, go speak to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and send Am Yisrael out of the land, the man that he sent them out. And Moshe says, why should I go? Bnei Yisrael don't listen. My own people don't obey me. How is Pharaoh going to obey me? He has a very good point, and yet he's no one to talk. And God tells Moshe and commands him, tell Bnei Yisrael and Pharaoh, we have to leave Egypt. So it's, even though you failed, God, that's my point. Moshe doesn't know God's entire plan. He thinks he's failing all the time, and God says, that's your job to fail. Leave it to me. We have this break in the action from Pasuk Yadalit to Chav Zayin, to Chav Chet, this section over here. We have this interruption of the genealogy of Moshe's family. Everything there goes by threes. Remember, we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then three generations of Levi, the three sons of Levi, Gershom, Katan, Mari. Then we have three generations, generation of Amram, Kahat, and of Levi, Kahat, and Amram, and their years, and who each of them married, and their children. And then we end up with Moshe and Aaron. And then we end this strange, really strange line. And this came to pass on the day that God spoke to Moshe in Egypt, like a dangling pasuk at the end. But what I wanted to point out, this is an interruption in the narrative that belonged earlier. I'll call it like a buffer. And now we're starting something totally new. And we're picking up where we left off. Up until now, we saw this at the burning bush and everything till now. Moshe has a job to go both to Pharaoh and to the Jewish people. Tell the Jewish people God's coming to redeem you from the promised land. Go tell Pharaoh we need to go serve our God in the desert. After this buffer, the entire topic is going to be Moshe and Pharaoh, God in Egypt. Am Yisrael is out of the picture now. No one's talking to Am Yisrael until Parshat HaChodesh. From the beginning of chapter 7 until chapter 12, Am Yisrael is sort of out of the picture. They don't listen. Remember, V'lo Shomea Moshe? The next time they get a command is going to be Korban Pesach. In the meantime, we have to get Egypt ready for the Exodus, as we'll see. And that's going to be the unit, I call it 7-11. From chapter 7 to 11 will be a unit. And I want to show you today why it's a unit and how that unit is going to explain a lot of to explain what's happening in the story. So starting in chapter 7, I have a unit. I call it the 9 plagues as opposed to the 10 plagues because the 10th plague isn't until chapter 12. But chapter 7 through 11, you'll see how it's a closed unit. What's the main topic? Not just the 9 plagues. Let me ask everyone a question. Let me turn this off for a minute. I'll check the chat. 1 second. We have to turn this off. And okay. Who can tell me what do all the plagues share in common? Is there something? Everyone knows that there's groups of three, etc. But what is it that all the plagues share?
Don't they have some relationship to the gods in Egypt?
What else?
Is it that none of the plagues affected Bnei Israel?
That's a machloket. Eben Ezra claims the first five did.
Measure for measure, Rabbi.
Okay. I mean, you can find that, but I want something in the text.
Paro refuses.
That's it. After every plague, I'm going to show you now. After every plague, Pharaoh doesn't give in. I'm going to share my screen real fast. And I hope I get the right thing. There'll be different ways that he says it. Let me get a real chumash. 1 second. Oh, here we go. I hope this is going to work. I'm going to show you we're not going to read the Hebrew. I just want to show you something. We're going to go to Shmo chapter 7. I'll make it bigger. Don't worry. Bigger. Okay. In chapter 7, it's interesting, even though there's 9 plagues, some people see there's 10 here because we begin with the Tanin, with the Mateh turning to a Tanin. It's not a plague because no plague happens. However, it ends with the famous line, Bechazak le paro v'lashama lehem. In other words, if Pharaoh, God tells Moshe, if Pharaoh asks for a mofet, for a wonder, throw your staff down and it turns into a Tanin. And they do it. And despite that sign, what happens? The Pharaoh hardens his heart. After every single plague now, and even after Tanin, Pharaoh is either going to harden his own heart or make his heart heavy, right, in different ways, or God's going to do it for him. Now here, plague number one, blood. Remember Dam? How does Dam end? Okay, and Vayasu, the Chartumim do the same thing. Vechazak le paro v'lo shema lehem kasher diber Hashem. I want to show you every plague. That's the only thing that every plague has is the same. Pharaoh's heart is hardened, just as God said. We have Tzfardea, goes into chapter 8. Watch what happens in chapter 8 at the end of Tzfardea. Paro saw that there's a rest. The frogs went away. Vachbedet libo. His heart was heavy. Okay, Belosho. Why sometimes heavy, one time some strengthened? There's lots of shurim on that, not our topic tonight. Okay. Then we have the third plague without the warning. Remember, the first plague is always meet him by the river. The second one, meet him in the palace. Third one without a warning. But with the warning, without a warning, it's implied. The warning's implied. Because after each plague, even after the third plague, the Chartumim say it's Etzbe Elohim. And again, Vechazak le paro v'lo shema lehem. Kasher diber Hashem. It's being emphasized, Kasher diber, as God's spoken. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. We have the fourth plague. It's a longer one. What happens at the end? Vayachbed parot libo. Again, he hardens his heart. His heart is heavy. And he doesn't, below shilachatam, he doesn't send them out. Now we're up to plague five, right? In chapter nine. Plague five. Same morning. Remember, send my people out and survey. We've mentioned before every single plague. I'm sorry. A second. Every single plague has every single plague begin. Every single plague begins with a warning. Send my people out to serve me. Remember, never let my people go, but send my people out. Here, Shalach Tami V'Yavduni. So Shalach Tami V'Yavduni. And then, at the end, V'Yishlach Paro V'Neid Mektachad, V'Yechbe Le Paro V'Lo Shalach Tam. Again, Paro hardens his heart, and he doesn't send them out. Every plague has the same, either hardening the heart or a heavy heart. Plague number six, Shechin. End of it, V'Yechasek Le Paro. Now, starting with plague six, God hardens his heart. Okay. Then, that does Moshe on plague number seven we're up to now, right? That's going to be the long one. And what happens at the end? Again, here he both hardens, his heart is heavy. Okay. You got my point? I'm pointing out this whole unit, that's what's emphasized. Even though Moshe gives the warning, Paro doesn't give in. And finally, that's now in chapter 10. We're up to plague number 8. Okay, remember? And now we pointed out before that even Pharaoh's own servants, his cabinet members, say how long are they going to be a stumbling block? Send these people out, let them serve their God. Remember? And they bring him back, let the men go. And Moshe says, no, all the women and children have to go as well. And then God brings the plague. And what happens at the end, after plague 8? After Arbed by Chazek Hashem and Le Paro, Paro, Hashem hardens Paro's heart, and he didn't send them out. Okay? Now, we're up to plague 9 now. Now we have to slow down. But believe me, in plague 9, I just show you right now, by Chazek Hashem and Le Paro, v'lo aval l'shacham. We'll see it by after Hoshech. But I'm going to go now to the English, I mean to our source sheet, and we're going to follow the story from plague number 9 from Hoshech. And that's our topic tonight. And I'm going to show you what happens. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. Let me just check the source. Okay, that's good. And we have the chat closed. Okay. Back to the source sheet. And here we are. Plague number 9. We have the intro. Okay. We looked at the entire unit. Common theme. Pharaoh hardens his heart. Remember, but this Moshe's job was to fail. I think I proved that. We'll pick up with the 9th plague. Just for the fun of it, I'm going to see who learned Rashi. How many days was Choshech for? What did you guys learn?
Three days.
And no one learned something else? Nobody learned 6?
Yes, 6 days, yeah. 3 days. Really. 3 days they could move. 3 days they could move. 3 days yeah. They couldn't
move. We'll see where Rashi gets that from because we want like a week for every plague. But I think simple pshat is 3 days. We're going to read the psukim and everyone can decide on their own. Let's take a look. You'll see for the share, it's important that it'll be 3 days. Why? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Let me make this bigger now. Bigger. This way. Here we go. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember the first three hit the river. The next middle three, the land. The last three, the heavens. We had Arbe and then Choshech and Makat Bachorot. Now. And Barad, I'm sorry. Barad, Arbe and Choshech all come from the sky. So, put your hands up to the heaven. There'll be Choshech. Remember, we're sort of covering over the sun god of Egypt. wrong. And there's darkness. Moshe puts up his hand like God says, and there's Choshech in Egypt for 3 days. Now, in simple pshat, during those 3 days, no one saw each other. No one got up for 3 days. And all Bnei Yisrael had Or B'Moshvotam. Remember the word Or? Am Yisrael has light. All Egypt is in darkness, and we have light. But I don't think it's 3 days and 3 days in pshat. I think it's simply for those same 3 days, no one saw each other in Egypt, but we had light. Now, we've been having negotiations all the way through. Every time Pharaoh gives in, and then he changes his mind. The last negotiations broke down over women and children. Pharaoh said, let the men go. Remember? And Moshe says, no, women and children have to go also. So Pharaoh now gives in. But not everything. He gives in 99%. Vayikra Paro Moshe, Vayomer, Luchu ibdu at Hashem, go serve your God, as you requested. Just leave some cattle behind. Leave your livestock behind. You can even take your children. Take everyone with you. Just leave the cattle behind. He's giving in. What does Moshe say? Moshe gives the craziest excuse. And you'll see why Pharaoh gets so angry. Moshe says, even if you give us cattle for korbanot, for sacrifices, that's not enough. We have to take our own cattle with us. We can't leave anything behind. Because we take everything with us, because we have to go serve our God. We don't know until we get there what God's going to ask for. It could be Egyptian animals are not good for sacrifices. They have to be animals that we own. We don't know what we need to serve God until we get there. Now, that excuse sounds so ridiculous. You follow? The Pharaoh is fuming. Pharaoh thinks he's giving it to them everything. And again, next week's show, we'll talk about what he's worried about. But the excuse Moshe gives enrages Pharaoh, and that causes Pharaoh to harden his heart. That's how God hardened his heart, by not giving in. And Paro says as follows, pay careful attention. Pharaoh tells Moshe, lech mi alai, get out of here. Hishamer lecha, be careful. Al tosef rot panai, don't you dare see my face again. Because if you come back here again, kivyom rot panecha tamut. You come and show your face in my palace one more time again, I'm going to execute you. You're finished. You're now a persona non grata. Out of here. And Moshe gets the last word in. Remember? Moshe says, Kendi Barta, I'm not going to come see you again. Good. That's the end of chapter 10. You follow? Pay attention to the narrative. Now, the question is going to come up, how does Moshe know he's not coming back again? And is Moshe saying, when Moshe says, I'm not coming back again, is that because he knew something, that he's not coming back again? Or is it because he made that decision himself? Keep that in mind. I'm going to repeat that one more time. This is the first time that Pharaoh warns Moshe not to come back. Remember, Moshe is representing the Jewish people. They have negotiations. He's welcome in Pharaoh. Whenever he comes to Pharaoh, he's accepted. He enters. They have their conversation. After these negotiations, Pharaoh is so enraged with Moshe. He says, don't come back here again. You come back again, I'll kill you. Moshe answers. He says, you're right. I'm not coming back again. How does Moshe know that? Did Moshe decide that on his own? Remember, Moshe's not making his own decisions. God's telling him what to do. How does Moshe know he's not coming back here again? Keep that question in mind. We'll discuss it soon. Watch what happens next. Chapter 11 now. Okay. God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's clear. It says so. One more plague I'm going to bring against Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that plague, hope you understand why this is closing our unit. Because how did the unit begin? God told Moshe Rabbeinu, you go to Pharaoh, warn him, we need to serve our God. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart or cause him to harden his own heart, and he won't give in to you. And then when I'm finished with all my plagues, then he'll kick you out. Watch what God says. One more plague I'm going to hit Pharaoh with. After that plague, he's going to send you out. He's going to throw you out. In other words, what's the chiddush that God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu? I hope that's clear now. I'll take my screen off. You understand? God's saying, Moshe was in the dark to Choshech. Moshe didn't know that the next plague is the last plague. Because what's happening after every plague, no matter what Moshe says, no matter how harsh the plague is, Pharaoh keeps on hardening his heart, and God said he would. And God said, I'm going to do that until I'm finished with him. And I'll bring all my plagues. We don't know how many plagues. Maybe there'll be 12. Maybe there'll be 15. Maybe 18. Maybe there could have been 7. That was my point. Moshe is in the dark to Choshech. Why? Because only after Choshech, what does God tell Moshe now? One more plague and it's over. So therefore, what's happened till now? God's been hardening Pharaoh's heart. What did God say to Moshe Rabbeinu? The next plague, I'm not going to harden his heart. Got that? Hope that makes perfect sense. That's exactly the title. Now, Ruth, you brought it by something.
So that still doesn't answer the question of if Moshe was not just being a very chutzpahdik and saying, and I'm never going to see you either, blah, 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 as opposed to, I know I'm not going to see you again. You haven't answered that yet.
Yeah, so that's the question. Does Moshe know already that it's the last plague? And that's why he can say, I'm not coming back again. Or listen carefully, because Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again. Does God decide that? When does God decide this is the last plague? Listen, a year ago, I was at my Seder, someone mentioned this. He said that even if we didn't leave Egypt the night of Korban Pesach, let's say we had Korban Pesach and God saved us from the plague of the firstborn. He said, you know, let's take the theoretical case. Maybe we didn't leave Egypt that night, but we still have to bring Pesach. Should we be thankful to God just for being saved for Korban Pesach? You know what he said? He said that would be enough reason. Remember Dayenu? Remember? Even if God, you probably said it also. In fact, you know what's, let me share my screen. You know what happens? Let's say you have an inquisitive child and he asks you a big question at the Seder. Let's say he asks you, let me get this up here. Let's say, you know, you're living in biblical times and it's time for, and you bring Pesach. So this is what Moshe says in chapter 12 later on. He says, keep this law of Passover for all generations. When you come to the land of Israel, we're in chapter 12, verse 25. When you come to the land of Israel, which I'm giving you, keep this Avodah, which is clearly Korban Pesach. Okay. Should your children ask you, why am I having this family gathering and having Passover? What's this all about? Remember? So we use this for the Russia's question. Remember, what's the lechem lo? But in Shad, he's asking, why? It's a normal question. We want the children to ask, what is the meaning of this Pesach, of this service of Pesach? The Amartem, Zebach Pesach. This is a Paschal sacrifice or a offering, whatever it's called, for God. Why? Because he passed over our houses or protected our houses, depending how you translate the word, in Egypt, when Benokfot Mitzrayim, when he smote Egypt. And he saved our homes. And that's what we're supposed to tell our children. And then that's what Moshe, and then the people listen to that and they bow down. But according to Chumash, the reason for Pesach, the reason for Korban Pesach is not to remember that God took us out of Egypt. Pesach is to remember that God saved us from Makat Bechorot, from the plague of the firstborn. That's explicit. Now, Chag HaMatzot is to remember God took us out of Egypt. But Pesach, that's why it's called Pesach. He passed over our homes and saved us from the, let me do a quick mute.
Address change.
Mute, oh, 1 second.
Rabbi, are you suggesting that?
Just unmute yourself again. I'm sorry. I said unmute everybody. Continue. Unmute yourself again.
Are you suggesting that passing over and serving God, that is the spiritual taking out, is more important than the physical escape? Because one can leave Mitzrayim.
It could be, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's two separate things we're thankful for. The holiday of Pesach, which starts on the 14th and ends at midnight on the 5th, no, that night, that's to remember that God saved us from Makat Bechorot.
And I understand.
We have a celebration, even if we didn't leave Egypt that night.
Yeah, but the Korban Pesach, that's supposed to represent our service to God, and that's why he passed over, correct?
It could be. What made us worthy of being saved from the plague was the fact that we followed instructions, and God gave us an order and we followed it. It was
that's called serving God.
We're worthy of being saved. So in other words, what's reminding us, if we want God's protection, we have to earn it. And that's why it's called Korban Hashem, because they finally internalized Ani Hashem. Remember, God told me Ani Hashem v'tzeiti ditzalti in the beginning of Parshat Va'era. So we take this Egyptian god and burn it in effigy, and we take the what else do we do? We and non-Egyptian bread. Remember, we eat matzah, not chametz and things like that. We're having a family gathering to thank God for protecting us, but showing God we're ready to serve Him. So first stage, the first type of mitzvah. But what I'm getting at is that even if we didn't leave Egypt that night, there would be still reason to have a Passover sacrifice every year and have a family gathering to remember that we were saved from the plague of the firstborn and maybe from all the plagues. Got that? And remember now to thank God for saving us, remembering we have to be worthy of being saved. But let me show you something interesting as long as I'm sharing my screen. When we get out of Egypt, you know, a bit while later, in the end of chapter 15, what does God tell us? Here we go. We go, remember after Marah, we get, we complain about the water, God shows Moshe the tree, and the water gets sweet, and there he gives us some laws, Chok HaMishpat. And what does God say? Im Shemoa Tishma B'Kol Hashem Elokecha. If we're willing to obey God and do what's right in his eyes and follow his commandments and keep all of his laws, okay, then all the sickness, like all the plagues that I put on Egypt, I won't put on you because I'm here to heal you. What's God telling you? You want God's protection? You want God to take care of you? Continue, keep up the good work. You know, you brought Korban Pesach that saved you. You're about to go to Israel. You know, you're on the way there. If you want God's protection, you have to be deserving of it. Otherwise, you deserve the punishment that Egypt got. So it's the same idea that we need to remember not only saying thank you, but remembering God can save us, and in the past he did, but you have to be worthy for God saving you. You don't pray for God to save you. You pray to remember God can save you, but you have to be worthy based on your deeds. That's a big principle in Chumash. Now, why do we do all that? Let's go back to our pasuk. Moshe just had this shout out, I think it's called, with Pharaoh, this argument with Pharaoh. He gets the last word in. And based on Ruth's question, Moshe on his own says, I'm not coming back here again. Pharaoh says, you come back here, I'll kill you. Moshe says, all right, I'm not coming back. Is Moshe saying that because he knows it's the last plague? Or is God deciding this is the last plague because Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again? In other words, now this is sort of, if I was in camp and teaching leadership, trying to brainwash like 18-year-old kids, up until now, Moshe's been a yes man. Remember I gave the quarterback analogy that Moshe's job is not to call the plays, but to run the plays. The head coach calls the plays. This is the first time Moshe calls an audible, if you know your football. Okay? If you know football, you got it. Yeah? And now God says, now we go to the Super Bowl. No, now I got a leader. Now I got a quarterback who can make it. No, now I have a leader. Now we're ready to leave Egypt. So it could be Moshe's making his own decision. Remember, Moshe didn't want to be a leader. God says, that's not your problem. I'm taking you out. Now Moshe's finally making his own decision. So anyway, I'm not sure if that's shot, but it's definitely worth it for a seminar in leadership. That's all. It's enough of a possibility because it's true to life. That's all. Sometimes you have to know when to make your own decisions and when sometimes to call an audible. Now, or it could be that Moshe knew. Now, what's my proof that Moshe doesn't know it's the last plague? Because after he says this, now we're back to our source sheet. Hope you're catching what I'm getting on. Right? First, Moshe says in the end of chapter 10, I'm not coming back here again. And then God tells Moshe, one more plague and it's over. Now, if Moshe knew it's the last plague already, then why does God have to tell him? You understand my point? Now, it could be that something else might have triggered God's decision to the last plague. It could be Pharaoh's decision to kill Moshe if he comes back caused God to say it's the last plague. Or it could be Moshe's decision to say, I'm not coming back, caused the last plague. But something happened in these two psukim that leads to God's decision that the next plague is the last plague. Now, what's difficult about verse 1 in chapter 11 is that God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, one more plague and it's over. And then he'll kick you out. In other words, I'm not going to harden his heart again. But I've been doing everything till now. But he doesn't say what the plague's going to be. Hope that's clear. I'm going to repeat that because this is the key part of this share I'm trying to get across. Okay. At the end of chapter 10, there's this argument between Moshe and Pharaoh. For the first time, Pharaoh says, if you come back here again, I'll kill you. Moshe answers, you're right, I'm not coming back here again. After that, immediately after that, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, the next plague is the last plague. So did God decide right now in real time that the next plague is the last plague? I'm not going to harden his heart. And why did God decide that Makat B'chorot is going to be the last plague? Because Pharaoh threatened Moshe's life, or because Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again? Was it Pharaoh's cruelty or Moshe's leadership? You follow? Now, if I'm teaching Mida Kenegi Mida or Ashkacha Pratis, I'll focus it was Pharaoh's cruelty that made God decide that's it. Or if I'm teaching leadership, it'll be the other. I think it might be both of them together. Okay. Now, someone said something which I didn't want someone to say. I think, who is it? Okay. iPhone says, but he knows the Makat B'chorot will happen. Okay. How does he know the Makat B'chorot is going to happen? Where's iPhone? A second.
Let me the beginning close. When he said.
Very beginning, Hashem said.
After the Malon, when God said, I will, say
to Pharaoh. At the burning bush, he tells him.
Oh, yeah. At the burning bush. Okay. So for those who don't remember, good question. But what you're saying is Eben Ezra, okay? Eben Ezra ruins the whole share for me. Why? Eben Ezra says, this is not in real time. Chumash is here. Let me show you. Chumash here is talking to the reader and not to Moshe. Let me share my screen again. I hope you get it. No, this one here. What's happening? Moshe here, this is the story in real time. This here is not God talking to Moshe now. Eben Ezra translates, God had told Moshe earlier, one more plague and it's over. And he told him earlier, tell the people to borrow. He says, this all happened back at the burning bush. But in case the reader forgot that, right? Chumash is reminding us, and that explains why Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again. You follow? See how Eben Ezra is going to ruin everything for me? He's going to say that, why is Chumash telling us now that God had told Moshe, one more plague and it's over? And how come Chumash tells us God had told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people this? Because in case the reader forgot, it's been like 5-10 chapters already, or whatever, 8-9 chapters. And it's explaining why Moshe says, I'm not coming back here again. Because Moshe knows that already. And when did he tell him? That can be done, yeah.
Could you explain to us once again, for the slow-witted like myself, why it makes a difference?
Who said it makes a difference?
Whether.
No. I'm just trying to explain. It doesn't have to have meaning. I'm just trying to understand the story.
I'm sorry. I'm saying
why it makes a difference.
I told you I'm slow with it.
No, it's okay. What I'm getting at, the big question here is, but how does Moshe know he's not coming back? So it could be he knows because God told him already. But then why is God telling him after he says, I'm not coming back? Why does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu one more plague and it's over? If I keep Chumash in chronological order, then what happened? Moshe decided, I'm not coming back. Pharaoh decided, you're not coming back here again, otherwise I'll kill you. Moshe says, I'm not coming back. And because of that exchange and the argument, God decided the next plague's the last plague, if I keep it in order. And then the question comes up, why did God decide the next plague's the last plague? Because what? Because Pharaoh threatened Moshe's life, or because Moshe took leadership? I can go either way. Got it? Now, I think Eben Ezra was bothered by that. We'll see Eben Ezra in a minute. And he says, no, this is not in real time. You know, Pharaoh said, don't come back here again. Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again. You're right. Why? Because God had told Moshe Rabbeinu, the next plague is the last plague. Got it?
How about if the last plague is just to show everyone that we're the worthy, meritorious eldest son?
No, listen, maybe God knows Makat B'chorot is the last plague, but who says Makat B'chorot is the next plague? Got it? It could be God had to know. Maybe God was... Someone in my seder said there could have been 200 plagues. Someone said, we had a whole discussion last year. Someone said there could have been 40 plagues, could have been 50 plagues. Someone said 200 plagues. You follow?
No, that's not exactly possible. We already have seen that all the produce in the field was ruined. And the Egyptian magicians came and said, don't you know, to Pharaoh, don't you know Egypt is already ruined? So if it's already ruined,
but listen, okay, if you're asking that, remember in plague number 7, all the in plague number 5, all the cattle were killed.
Right.
And he warns them if in plague number 7, If you fear God from the barad, put your cattle in your thing. But whenever it says everything, it doesn't mean everything.
No, the point is, after the cattle were, or the outside cattle were killed, all the food was killed. All the produce growing in the field was killed.
Even after Makat Bechorot, there's still lots of horses, aren't there?
And no, the horses, to stay the alive. Horses are part of the cattle.
Pharaoh has all the chariots and horses.
The horses are part of the animal.
It's all animals. All animals, Rabbi. All animate objects.
Okay, it could be whatever it is. It could be when it drives the plagues that they sort of sometimes maybe whatever it is, even after the 10th plague, there's still people in Egypt. They're eating. They're alive. They don't die of starvation. Got it? And there's still, some animals are still around.
But the people in Egypt are not the point. The Pharaoh is the point.
And my claim is if people in Egypt are also the point, we'll see. Well, hold on. Let me go back to this argument here. Okay. I just tried to explain Ebenezer. We'll explain why I'm going to disagree with Ebenezer in a minute. But let me just go back and clarify. The key point I'm trying to show you here is that Moshe is having what he called. Pharaoh says, don't come back here again. Moshe says, no, I'm not coming back here again. And then Chumash tells us that God told Moshe Rabbeinu one more plague and it's over. If this is in real time, you know, if God's really talking to Moshe immediately afterwards, if it's not a flashback, as Ebenezer claims, but it's in real time, as Rashi and everyone else claims, then what made God decide that the next plague is the last plague? Either Pharaoh's decision to kill Moshe, if he comes back, or Moshe's decision not to come back. Okay, either way. Now, then God also tells Moshe, not only the next plague is the last plague, and then he's going to kick you out. Now, going back to our unit, that's the end of the unit. Why? Because what's happening up until now, Pharaoh's always hardening his heart because God hardens it. God tells Moshe, next time he's not going to harden his heart, and therefore he'll send you out. But because he's sending you out, and you're about to leave, when he sends you out, you need to leave, remind the people, even though you told them months ago after the burning bush, remind the people to borrow when they send you out, clothing and gold and silver and things. And God will give favor in the eyes of Egyptians and they'll lend us, right? And people respecting Moshe because Moshe's trying to save the people and Pharaoh's a bad guy, follow? Everyone's convinced Moshe's right. He's trying to save Egypt. Just let us go serve our God. And Pharaoh's the one who's obstinate. Got my point? The Egyptian people are convinced Moshe's right. Pharaoh's cabinet is convinced he's right. The only obstacle to solving these terrible plagues is Pharaoh because he doesn't let the Jews go serve their God. And we have each of what we want them. Now, what should Moshe do now? Someone tell me. Based on, if this is in real time, what should Moshe do now? He can't come back to Pharaoh's palace, right? What should he do next? What did God just tell him to do?
To talk to the Bnei Israel.
And tell him about to borrow.
Yep.
Watch what happens in Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Moshe, Kol Mar Hashem, Kechatzot Halayla Ani Yotzei B'toch Mitzrayim. What's Moshe say? This is the word of God. At midnight, Makat Bechorot. He tells about Makat Bechorot. Who's he talking to?
He's talking to the Jews.
He's talking to...
Because everybody has to be inside, because otherwise the angel of death will get them.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like he's talking to the Jews. Let's read carefully and see if it's true. It says, what did God say? At midnight, I'm coming out. Now, how does Moshe know this? So Ebenezer says he knows it from back in Midian. We'll question that in a minute, though. But he says, at midnight, it's over. Every firstborn in Egypt is going to die from everywhere, and even firstborn of animals. There'll be a tzakah, there'll be a great cry in all of Egypt. Nothing like it ever before, nothing like it again. But Bnei Israel, no one will get hurt. Got it? Male, female, animal, nothing in Am Yisrael will be hurt. And so that everyone knows how God differentiates between Egypt and Israel. But Moshe is still talking. Listen carefully to verse 8. I'll make it really big. Yardu kol avadecha ele elai vishtachvu lelemor. All of your servants are going to come to me and bow down to me saying, get out of here, you and everyone with you, and then I'm going to leave. Who's Moshe talking to in Pasachet?
Sounds like Paro.
It has to be Pharaoh, right? In Pasachet, Moshe's talking to Pharaoh, isn't he? And what's the proof? Because when he finishes Pasachet, then he leaves Pharaoh's palace. He slams the door. He leaves Pharaoh. He slams the door and leaves. Now, if he's talking to Pharaoh in verse 8, who's he talking to in verse 4?
Also, Paro.
I mean, this entire conversation, he's talking to Pharaoh. Every parsha notes that. And every parsha, every commentator points it out because the average reader doesn't pay attention to that. But it's crystal clear that what's happening in verse 4 through 8, Moshe's warning Pharaoh about what? About Makat B'chorot. Doesn't Moshe warn Pharaoh before every plague?
Yes.
Except for 3, 6, and 9? And he should warn him about Makat B'chorot. And this is the warning. But how does Moshe know about it, number one? And number two, why did he come back? Didn't Pharaoh say to kill him?
Never left.
Ah, he never left. Ah, if he never left.
Rashi says he never left. He was still there.
If he never left, let's go back up to before. I'm saying before or after, one second. Wait, what happened? Oh, yeah. If we never left, let's take a look what happened. Here's how I'm going to draw it. This is the end of chapter 10. Paro says, get out of here. Don't come back. And Moshe says, you're right. I'm not coming back. Got it? I need this to do in Hebrew to see the thing. We have an insert. Hope you understand my insert here. I'll put that on the side. I need a little annotation tools. Here we go. This is an insert here. Got it? And basically, if I shift delete this whole thing here, this thing, if I take this whole part, oh, forget it. Doesn't work. Okay? If I take this whole section here and delete it, then if I have a camera in Pharaoh's palace, when Moshe says, you're right, I'm not coming back, now he doesn't get the last word in once. He gets the last word in twice. He says, not only am I not coming back, you know what, Pharaoh? At midnight, it's over. And not only am I not coming back to you, you're coming to me. You see that? But Moshe doesn't just say, I'm not coming back here again. Not only am I not coming back, the next plague will be Makat B'chorot, will be the plague of the firstborn. You're all going to die. Your firstborn died. We're going to stay alive. And you're going to come to me begging me to leave. And then we're going to leave Egypt. Got it? Now, that brings up a lot of questions. What's the big question it brings up? If this is in real time, then what's the problem? In the middle of this argument, God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Someone tell me what the problem is. Moshe and Pharaoh having an argument. And Moshe, in the middle of the argument, gets a beeper or gets a WhatsApp, whatever it is. He gets a message from God in the middle. Right. What's the problem with that? Let me turn this off for a minute and see.
What's wrong with that?
What's the problem with Moshe getting a beeper from God in the middle of this conversation?
Calling him out to tell B'nai Israel while he's in the middle talking to Paro.
First of all, the from question is, how does Moshe receive Nevuah in Pharaoh's palace?
In Pharaoh's palace, when he had to leave before.
Every time he has to leave, remember, he has to leave. When I leave the city, I'll pray. When I leave, he's always saying, I can talk to God after I leave. And it's full of idol worship, that palace.
So that's kind of...
That's not necessarily a problem, because it very well may be that Moshe didn't want to talk to God while Pharaoh was listening in, because he didn't want Pharaoh to know what was going on.
Okay. Maybe he had a wife. He had a different Wi-Fi system. He had Klita all of a sudden. So all the parshim talk about it, and they say, you know, if it's in real time, God said. Now, but let's say, okay, God can give Nevuah. If he really needs to, he can give Nevuah in Pharaoh's palace. He can break the laws. He makes them. But the bigger question, why the need? Why does he need to talk to Moshe now? Why can't he wait? What's the urgency? Why does he have to tell him now? Why can't he tell him later?
Because Moshe can't go back.
Ah, so that's what, because Moshe has to warn him about Makat B'chorot, and Pharaoh said, don't come back. Because Pharaoh said, don't come back, God tells Moshe, before you leave, tell him about Makat B'chorot. Right? That's what they said. That's what Ramban and Rashi will say. But what's the problem? Does God tell Moshe about Makat B'chorot?
He has to, somewhere along the line, he did have to tell him, because it's what he says to Paro. The fact that we don't see it in the text is not a proof that he didn't say something to him somewhere along the line of way about.
Yeah, but God must have told Moshe earlier about Makat B'chorot. Otherwise, how does he know the details? Now, Ebenezer says he knows from Midyan. But in Midyan, at the burning bush, he didn't say when Makat B'chorot's going to be. He didn't say who's going to die Makat B'chorot. He didn't say that the animals, the firstborn animals are going to die. The shifchot, the maid servants are going to die of the Egyptians. Right? He just said, I'm going to kill Pharaoh's firstborn. He didn't say when it's going to happen and what time of the night it's going to happen. Moshe has a lot more details than we had before. So you can say that that's the short version. Moshe did the long version.
But isn't the Pharaoh a firstborn as well? And why wouldn't he have died too?
Maybe his mother
had precisely that reason.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big question. Maybe his mother had a child beforehand. No, we don't want to get into the New York Post. They talked about it. It was a boy. Or the Egyptian Post. Okay.
No, he was saved. He was the firstborn.
He just got delayed it for him so he can die at the sea. But you know, hope my questions are clear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now there's too many questions. Now let's get to the answer. Okay. I want to go back to Pasuk Dalet again and translate it carefully. This is the key to everything. Okay. Let me go back up here. Let's translate this. What does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, what does Moshe tell Pharaoh? Tomar Hashem, kechasot halayla ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim. Right? Give me an exact translation of that pasuk. He says here, about midnight, I'll go out of Egypt. But translate a little bit better. What's halayla mean?
Tonight.
Right? Night. Yeah. Means tonight means remember halayla has a tonight at midnight I'm coming to Egypt. Well, Moshe is telling Pharaoh tonight at midnight it's over. Got my point? And what's happening tonight? Why I'm not coming back? It's in the morning. Tonight at midnight it's over, and tonight after it's over, you're going to come to me and tell me to leave. And you're going to come to me. I'm not going to come to you. If that's true, if halayla means tonight, then what day of the month is it?
14th.
It's the 14th. Okay. Now, what caused this argument to start? Choshech, right? Right after Choshech is when this whole argument begins. Remember Pharaoh after Choshech says, okay, go, just leave your cattle behind? And Moshe says, no, that's causes the argument. If this is on the 14th, then if this whole argument is happening on the 14th, then when was Choshech?
11, 12, and 13.
Exactly. Does that explain something? What happened on the 10th? Explain. What do you mean, HaKodesh Zelachem?
After they took the Korban Pesach already.
They took the Korban Pesach on the 10th, remember? And they waited. Now we understand why they take it on the 10th and wait till the 14th. Because 11, 12, and 13 are the days of Choshech. But what did Moshe tell Paro? What did God tell Moshe about Korban Pesach? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right?
Rosh Chodesh.
But that's in chapter 12.
Yeah.
Rabbi,
what happened?
Ein mukdam meuchar.
Exactly. No, it's what happened. Chumash is out of order. If halayla means tonight at midnight, Chumash is out of order. Now, with Korban Pesach, are the details of Korban of Makat Bechorot there? We'll take a quick look, okay? Let's go ahead to chapter 12, which is really going back chronologically. We're going back to chapter 12. Okay? Remember, Achodesh Zezel Lechem Rosh Chodeshim and everything?
Rabbi, the details. Isn't there a wrinkle and a midrash that says that the light was on permanently for all the Jews and there was no dark?
We had light for 3 days. Yeah, for the 3 days of Choshech, we had light even at night.
24/7.
We'll see where that's coming from. But listen what God told Moshe Rabbeinu. Here's how to tell the people, eat it this way. The Avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim by Laila Hazeh. That's God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 2 weeks earlier. I'm going to kick every firstborn out of Egypt, kill every firstborn, animals and man. Right? And the dam will be the sign. And if you have Korban Pesach, I'll see the blood and pass over you. Remember you asked me, how does Moshe know about the details of Makat Bechorot? Here's your answer. When did Moshe find out all the details of when it's going to happen? 2 weeks earlier. But what doesn't Moshe know?
Rosh Chodesh.
Moshe knows the next plague is going to be Makat Bechorot. Got it? During Choshech, he knows that Makat Bechorot is going to be the 14th tonight. He knows about Pesach. He knows about what's going to happen. What doesn't he know? He doesn't know it's the last plague. Are you catching on? That's my Kiddush. Got my point? And explains everything now. Said, Moshe knows the next plague is Makat Bechor, is the plague of the firstborn. He doesn't know it's going to be the last plague. Because what's God been doing every plague since chapter 7? He's been hardening Pharaoh's heart. And there's been terrible plagues. And God didn't say how many plagues there's going to be. What does Moshe find out right after Choshech? That what? In other words, God, there could have been the plague of the firstborn that night, and we could have left Egypt a week later, a month later. Who knows how? We've been waiting a long time, right? Why should this plague be any different? So it's harsh, for sure. But as mentioned before, there's reason to bring Pesach, even if we didn't leave Egypt that night. But in the middle of this argument between Moshe and Pharaoh, what does God decide? It's over tonight. At least, maybe God had it decided beforehand, but Moshe was in the dark until Choshech. Got my point? Moshe doesn't know that Makat Bechorot is the last plague until Choshech. That explains every single detail now. Why? Because everyone knows we're bringing Pesach. Everyone knows the plague of the firstborn will be that night. And everyone knows we have to bring the sacrifice. What we don't know is that we're leaving Egypt that night. Now, we know we have to come properly dressed. Remember? But the Chem Chagurim, etc. But that could be it's a formal dinner. God knows what's going to happen. You follow? But the people are caught by surprise. Now we have everybody in their home. Remember? Now, if Egypt sees that we brought a sacrifice and we were saved from the plague, was it? And who was killed? People who didn't bring sacrifices. Boy, are they convinced that Jewish sacrifice can stop a plague. That'll convince them to kick us out. But God has this master plan and Moshe's in the dark. No one knows his plan. But God's decision that it's over with Makat Bechorot and that night they're going to leave, could have been a last-minute decision, or maybe God knew ahead of time, but Moshe doesn't know about it until he sat out with Pharaoh. And it could be that God's decision that it's over tonight because Pharaoh threatened to kill Moshe, or because Moshe took leadership, either way. Or maybe God knew ahead, but Moshe didn't know. But Moshe knows, it's clear that Moshe knows about the plague of the firstborn. He doesn't know about it's the last plague. And God
decided Rabbi, that,
yeah.
Rabbi, but isn't there a problem with that? Because you're then suppositioning that God thinks in linear chronological time. And we know that's not so. So on one hand,
God, you're saying,
it's not chronological according to human time. So therefore, we're going to project.
Listen, God makes decisions based on human behavior, correct?
No.
Now, whether God knows the future, that's a philosophy class. But if God's beyond time, what I'm saying is that in most of Chumash, God's decisions, right, from our point of view, are a function of our deeds. That's like the basis of all Chumash. And we have Bechira Chofshit. So God might know what we're going to decide, but that's a philosophical question because he's above time. But from time, you know, so it could be that God's decision that this is the last plague might be because of what happened.
And isn't this issue of time part of the differentiation in Midrash? Some say it lasted 3 weeks, all the plagues. Some say it lasted a year. Some say it went
is that if our read is right, then that last verse of Choshech, that we had light, Bnei Israel had or, when they had darkness, that plague ended on the 13th at night, right? Going to the 14th. When do we do Bedikat Chametz? First Mishnah Pesachim or Larbasa.
Right.
Why did the rabbi say or? It's perfect.
In
other words, we do B'diyat Chametz on the 13th at night, exactly when Choshech was over, when we have or and they have Choshech. So we give light and Choshech, that's gotcha. The candle. That's awesome. I think that explains gotcha. The first Mishnah Pesachim. Now, let me finish. I know my time's almost over. It's already over. But let me finish up. But I hope you got my point. If I go back now and look at what happened, let's look at the text again. If I go back to the this part, this interruption, what happened? So Paro says, what do you call it? Leave. In the middle of this argument, Moshe gets a beeper because he needs it. He needs the beeper. Why? Because God just decided, or Moshe now is finally informed the next plague is the last plague. He knows what plague it's going to be. But God's saying the next plague is the last plague. Moshe knows it's going to be Makat Bechorot. And then he'll say, kick you out. And that enables Moshe to tell Pharaoh, tonight at midnight, it's over. Right? And you're going to come to me. Had God not interrupted Moshe and told him this, he he wouldn't have been able to say this. And that's why he gets a beeper. Now, did God know ahead of time and wait until the last minute to tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Or did God decide that because of Moshe Rabbeinu said or that you can argue? Now I get my final proof that this is a unit and why it's out of order. Now, let's say it's true. Why is it out of chronological order? Because chapter 7 to 11 is a unit. What's my point? Look at the summary psukim at the end of it. Look how perfect it is. We just have the shout out Moshe leaves. Let's go back to the verses. Here. Moses, get out of here. Here. Now, when this is over, Pasuk Tet. It's a separate parshia. There's a parshia break. Vayomer Shema Moshe, lo yishma lechem paro. This is the end of chapter 11, right before chapter 12. Someone tell me why this pasuk doesn't make sense after Moshe just told Pharaoh, tonight you're coming to me, and it's over. And God told Moshe Rabbeinu, next plague, it's over, I'm not going to harden his heart, he'll kick you out. What's it say in verse 9? Hashem tells Moshe, Pharaoh won't listen to you, lo yishma lechem, so I can bring many plagues against the Egyptians. And Moshe and Aaron did all these miracles in front of Pharaoh. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he didn't send Bnei Israel out. Someone tell me, what are these two psukim doing?
They're summaries. They're
a summary of what?
Bring it all to a close. It's a
7-11. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
They're a summary of 7-11. That's closure. That's not in real time. That's summarizing the whole unit that began in chapter 7 with, look how perfect it is. How did the unit begin? The unit began here. The unit began right here. Oh, here we go. No, the unit began here. Remember? You go to Pharaoh and tell him, send my people out. I'm going to harden his heart, so I bring a lot of plagues. Pharaoh won't listen to you. I'll take my people out afterwards. And then Moshe and Aaron did all these things, are going to do all these things. Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 89. The beginning, that's the opening line of unit of chapter 7. And the unit ends with the parallel psukim. From a literary point of view, it's a perfect unit. Moshe and Aaron did all these things. The Mount Moriah effect, I have it here. No, I don't have it here. Okay. And then chapter 12 starts a new unit. Now what happens? This unit is closed. It has a buffer beforehand. The genealogies. Remember, Elul Shvot is a buffer before the unit begins. Now what happened? In chapter 7, 11 through 11, God gets Pharaoh and Egypt, all of Egypt, ready to kick us out. And now that Egypt's ready to throw us out, now we need to get Am Yisrael ready to throw us out. I mean, to be ready to leave. And that's Korban Pesach. So we have a whole unit, God talking to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Beforehand, God talks to Am Yisrael, they don't listen. They're not ready yet. We have to get Egypt ready, chapter 7 through 11. We finish that. Now we go back and get Am Yisrael ready, Korban Pesach or Parshat HaChodesh. And now that Am Yisrael is ready and Egypt's ready, the end of chapter 12 is the first, the Makkah, and we leave Egypt, which will be our topic next week. Now, just showing you the Parshanim, Eben Ezra, I'll just show you the Hebrew real fast. This year's over, I just want to show you the Parshanim that I mentioned. Eben Ezra says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, right? Remember that Oneg Echad? What should be here should be verse 4, Komar Hashem, V'nichnaseh B'nei Parshat Oneg Echad. Why is this, these three psukim interrupting? Okay. That God had said it. Kfar Amar Hashem Zeh LeMoshe. Eben Ezra says this is a flashback, and he told him back in Midian, that's Eben Ezra. That's one option. And we explain what led him to it, but we disagree. And we follow Rashi and Ramban, say it's in real time. What's Moshe say? Vayomer Moshe Kol Amar Hashem in verse 4. Bomdo lifnei poro nemra nevuazu. I mean, verse 1 through 3. Moshe got this nevuah still standing in Pharaoh's palace, because when he left, he said he's never coming back. Okay? And Ramban quotes Rashi and says, and that's what Chazal say. Kevyochol, Akash Baruch Hu jumped on Moshe and entered Pharaoh's palace for the sake of Moshe. He did it because Moshe said, I'm not going to come back here again. And God didn't want Moshe to be a liar, of all things. All of a sudden, that's like ironic. But to make sure that Moshe says, I'm not coming back. So Ramban for sure claims that God's decision was motivated by Moshe's decision not to come back. Okay. Now, Ramban also points out, when Moshe says, he's talking to Pharaoh, and he proves it from Pasuk like we did. But Ramban could not accept my explanation. Why? Because he keeps Chumash in order, right? Ramban keeps Chumash in order. Listen to Ramban. Ramban was bothered by Halayla. I'll prove it to you. Because Halayla means tonight at midnight. says, even though Moshe said, and he would say, and it means tonight, right? It can't mean tonight. Why? Why? In other words, why is he saying this? Because in Pshat it means tonight at midnight. But it can mean tonight at midnight because 11 comes before 12. And we didn't get to chapter 12 yet. This has to be beforehand. And therefore, when he says, Chasot HaLayla, it means tonight at midnight, means some night at midnight. I don't know which one. Ramban right on the mark, but it shows you Ramban was bothered by HaLayla, right? Right on the spot. Okay, so that was the, that's why I shared the Ramban with you. But I hope you follow. I hope you understand. I like it's one of my favorite shiurim. But it's but yeah. I hope you got the title now. Now again, the unit is again. I'm not explaining why God's doing this. Why God's keeping Moshe in the dark. But the plot is so awesome. Where God's running everything, and no one knows what's going on. We'll see it next week. The same thing with why Pharaoh chases us. Everything changes last minute. Now why God's doing everything last minute? Maybe we'll talk about it in the next week's share. But today what I tried to show you was how when you pay attention to units, I'm trying to explain all the questions. Why is there an interruption of the narrative in the middle of the argument between Moshe and Pharaoh? It's necessary. And when did Moshe know about all these details? He got it. But when you understand it's out of chronological order, explains what Moshe does know and what he doesn't know. And explains why God has to interrupt him in the middle of the argument. And then we also explain why 7-11 is a separate unit, because it's between Moshe and Pharaoh, between God and the Egyptians, getting them ready for the Exodus. And Am Yisrael getting ready will be a separate unit, chapter 12. Okay, I'll hang around for extra questions, but you're the host now, Jay. Let me just check. Was there anything?
Okay, any questions?
Okay,
comments?
Keep us on. We'll talk about next week to keep us on. Okay. Yeah. Okay, about Tyrant's thinking. Okay. We'll do those later on. Next week, we'll put this all together, hopefully.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Any questions? Wait, Dennis, do you have a question?
No. That was excellent. It was a little bit above my pay scale.
Okay.
That was
excellent. Complicated, but
this is like Torah Memento. The film it begins in the middle, then goes to the beginning and goes to the end.
All good movies are out of chronological. Harry Potter begins out of chronological order, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All good movies, they get the last scene first and put it around. Okay, Rabbi Jay.
Okay, everything's upside down. That's life. Okay, right. Okay, guys. Fantastic. Okay, thank you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Tomorrow, triple header. Rachel Danziger, Sharansky at 11, Rabbi Brody. On the end of life issues at 12 and 2, and then Mark Shapiro at 8:30. So we look forward to learning tomorrow all during the week. Parsha Shear this week, Rebecca Winter, Dr. Rebecca Winter, beginning the Shear. And as always, invite a friend. We look forward to learning with you and your friends, and everybody have a wonderful week. And enjoy. Bye bye. Rabbi, I'd like to
wrap up.
Well, you know, the
thank you.
So I guess that's why you're at the football now.
Thank you. Chodesh Tov, everybody.
It's Rosh Chodesh in Israel. We're getting there soon in a few hours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Chodesh Tov. Wonderful year. Thank you.
Rabbi Alman, thank you very much, by the way.
You're welcome.
thank you for arranging the meeting with my son.
Yes.
And you know he ate by your cousins on Friday night.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, he met. They invited him for Friday night dinner. So
wonderful.
Very nice. Thank you very much. He greatly appreciates that.
Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, everybody, be well. We look forward to learning with you soon. Thank you.